everyone. Welcome to the Latin Excellence Podcast. I'm Gabby.
And this is Carlos.
And we are Los Riveras. Our show features stories of top performers in the Latinx community and helps you discover practical insights that you can apply to your own personal journey. In this episode, we connect with Armando de la Torre. He is an entrepreneur, restaurateur, and leads one of LA's favorite taco chains, Guisados. Armando talks about the dynamics of running a business alongside his father. He compares him to Shaq and Kobe, delivering an extraordinary customer experience, and how to remain flexible in a constantly evolving LA market. We also learn about Armando's newest restaurants, George's Burgers and Playita, and how they continue to reflect the values of the Latinx culture here in LA. Lastly, as a reminder, we're still recording at home. We appreciate your patience as we navigate barking dogs, ambulances, and any other background noise.
So thanks for joining us on another episode of Latin Excellence. Today we have the pleasure of speaking with Armando de la Torre Jr. He is the co-owner of Guisados and founder of George's Burgers. So Armando, welcome to the show.
Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Awesome. So we'll just jump right in it. So maybe just to name a few of the accomplishments you've had already. So I saw that in 2010, CNN named Guisados as best tacos in America. In 2017, Star Chefs named you Rising Star Restaurateur. And in 2018, Thrillist named Guisados as one of the best Mexican restaurants in Los Angeles. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, congrats.
You forgot a few, but it's all good. I just think one of the things I'm most proud of is I think in 2017 Conde Nast named us one of the top restaurants in the world because of like the type of food that we expose to in a very casual setting. 2019 Michelin listed us in their 2019 guide, which is the first time they were in California since we opened. Wow. And those have definitely been like little feathers in the cap that I'm very, very proud of.
That's amazing. We're so excited to hear more about how you've built such a successful organization, and it's here in SoCal, which it feels like such a LA staple. So we're excited you're
Thank
here.
You.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you.
So let's do it. So tell us a little bit about your background. How did you get started building Guisados? And how did that lead you to start your latest venture, George's Burgers?
Well, like any good things, you know, it comes out of a little bit of desperation, luck, and obviously a lot of hard work. Guisados has been such an amazing blessing for our family, but it wasn't like something that we knew was, or even firmly believed in for a very long time. I never knew I wanted to be in the restaurant industry in this manner. Same with my father. When my first time working in a restaurant, I was 15 years old and it was just a dishwasher. And I've been working in restaurants ever since. To me, restaurants were always like my side hustle. It was a great way to make money in a short period of time. The hours were flexible, whether I was in school or working for someone else. Restaurants just were something that I felt like I was always good at. And when the opportunity came to work on something like Guisados, my father and I were both kind of in a position of he was trying to rediscover who he was, and I was trying to discover who I was. Obviously, we're different ages. My father had just gone through divorce. So he was in that, you know, I got this new chance in life to discover who I am, you know, with my kids are older now and gone out of college, and my mother and he had separated. So he was in this discovery of his life in his late 40s, early 50s, and I was fresh out of college. I had no idea what I wanted to do because I felt like everything I had studied for in college ended up not being what I wanted to do. For the longest time, I wanted to be a sports agent, and I thought that was the direction I wanted to go, and even studied that all the way through college, and truly fell out of love with working within sports. I love sports very, very much, but I think once I was actually exposed to it, I realized how much it just wasn't for me. So when the opportunity came to open this restaurant with my father, we were both in a position of, well, what have we got to lose? And my father had been in real estate for his entire professional career. And it started out as the original location of DeSalvis is in Boyle Heights, where my family has a lot of our real estate holdings. And my grandfather owned the building of where DeSalvis currently stands. And my father calls me and is like, hey, why don't you help me come to this building? We're going to get it ready for a new tenant. It used to be a tamale house where they would just make tamales and sell them out. And I met him there. This was in September of 2010. And he just was like, you know, we walk into this place and we're kind of cleaning it up. My dad's mopping. I'm doing random dishes. We were just in there and started talking about what's the reality of us like turning this into a restaurant and doing something that my father loves and something that I was good at. So my pops was the food. And he partnered along with Ricardo Diaz, who was one of our partners in the beginning, and they created the menu. What I brought to it was how to actually run the restaurant, you know, how to staff it, how to do the day ins and day outs of actually running the restaurant. So it was a fun collaboration, but it was very much a collaboration. It wasn't so much that I was working for my father or my father was working for this. It was very much of us realizing what our traits and you know, powers were within what we could do, and just came together magically. DeSalvis is a memory of what we ate growing up. Some of our menu is developed for the restaurant, such as our fish taco, our shrimp taco, our quesadilla, things that maybe I didn't really eat at home every day. But the essence of what DeSalvis is the stew. It's about a braise or a slow cooked stew. And with any culture, there's so many stews that are prevalent and representative of the culture of the home that we were like, let's pick our favorite stews, ones that represent Mexico as a whole, not so much a certain city or a certain type of culture, but rather like these are Mexican stews that range from east to west, north to south. And all we did was serve them on a ham and corn tortilla. And I mean, that's what constitutes a taco. So again, a lot of luck, a lot of hard work, and a lot of creativity that just came together at the right time.
Wow. Yeah, it's so interesting to hear about family businesses, right? And how you can work with folks that you're the closest to and just build such a successful organization. So can you talk to us about the family dynamics that impact the way you run the business? Like, how do you all separate managing the business and being family and just like all of those dynamics wrapped up in one?
Yeah, it's something that I've observed from day one. We all know our favorite restaurants that might be family owned. And you always see that once the restaurant or the business gets handed off to the kids, it changes.
Right.
And what I see as the beauty of my position with DeSalvis is that I've been there from inception, and a lot of my father's goals for DeSalvis are very much in line with my goals for DeSalvis. That we saw this opportunity and seized it, and we've been on the same page because we have the same desire for it. And I think that's very important. Yeah. And I think it gets lost when any business, restaurant or not, gets handed down to the next generation, because then people have their own ideas of what's best for that company. One of the biggest things for me, which didn't become evident until a bit later on into our existence, was I needed to respect my father. Whether or not he was my father, he was my boss. He was the one that made the call. If I said no and he said yes, the answer was yes. And I had to respect that. And for the first couple of years, it was tough. I you know, I'm a young 24, 25 year old kid, and I think I know what's best or what's cool or what's this. And he would kind of put me in my place and be like, that's not how we're doing this. And as time moved along, I started to realize like, oh damn, he's right, you know. For example, one of my biggest things when we started was we would run out of food. And I thought it was cool. I was like, yeah, we sold out of this. And my dad's like, why is that good? I'm like, because we sold out, Pop. Like, that's so cool. We sold out in 6 hours or whatever it was. And he'd be like, well, what about the people coming in now? Now we don't have maybe what they came in for, or maybe what they brought their mother in for, or a friend in for.
Right.
And I think that's a perfect example of this like generational difference, that our young generation is so enthralled with like quick success, sold out. This thing is sold out. This is limited And I think the older generation is like, no, like it's about cultivating like the, exactly. Like you want everybody to experience it the same, which we still believe in obviously with our restaurant, because we're all about consistency. Yeah. One of the most important things for us is our consistency. And so, but going back to your question, working with family has actually been really fun and very much blessed, because my dad and I joke around that we're the Shaq and Kobe of this thing, because because my pops is very like Kobe-esque in that you got to do it day in, day out, you know, like you just keep going. And I'm very Shaq, like, no, it doesn't matter. You just slam dunk that, you just push that in, you make your way. So yeah. we're very different, but we're very similar, because I believe that our goals are very aligned and we have best intentions for our business. And I think that's probably what holds that is the glue of what holds this company together.
So as a founder, like, or if you can go back to like when you first started Guisados, I would imagine that you're wearing multiple hats just at once. So what would you recommend to other founders? Like, what do you think is like the top thing that they should focus on early on in the process that they may have to get right?
I mean, obviously with the restaurant, food is like the most important aspect of it, because food and service, obviously it seems so obvious, but some restaurants forget that. They feel like they're maybe the name of the chef or what the restaurant looks like or where they're located is going to carry them through. And I believe it's more about the overall like food and consistency. If you try to, like you said, if I, when I was wearing so many hats, I always had to remember that what's the thing here that allows me to do all of these different things? It's the food. The food has to be on point. Otherwise there is no collaborations or creativity or branding or whatever. And when I started, or when we started, I remember my dad being like, okay, we're going to open tomorrow. And I'm like, wait, I haven't even put any artwork on the walls. I haven't painted this. I wanted to do that. And he's like, you could do that while we're open. And again, going back to my young adolescent mind at the time, I'm like, no, it's got to look perfect. It's got to be perfect before we open, because that first customer, I want them to see like it in all of its glory. And what I learned was there's no time for that. Like, let that happen organically. In the meantime, let's put money in. Let's start making money, because especially in the restaurant world, money is so fast. Like, it comes in and out so fast that you can't sit on something for too long. Otherwise either it expires, or, you know, the focus of the trend no longer is enough to bring people in. And things like that to me have become very evident of like the importance of the consistency of your product, whether it's food or whatever it is. I cannot stress enough how important that is. And one of the books I read in my earlier days was Setting the Table by Danny Meyer, who Shake Shack.
Yeah.
And one of his biggest things, one of my favorite parts of the book, was it's not about the customer who is there with all of his friends, and, you know, there's eight people at this table and they're going to give you a great tip, and, you know, this tab is going to get the restaurant, blah, 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 blah. It's about that one customer who comes in by himself, because that customer that came in by himself chose to be here. That person used their whole cognitive mind of, I'm going to eat at this restaurant down the street, I'm going to drive there, I'm going to take the bus to train, whatever. And if you focus too much on those bigger tables, the people that are 8 and 10 and 12 people, well, the chances are 11 of those people are only there because it's so-and-so's birthday and they may never come back, or they don't really care about the food. They just, you know, company's buying, so let me just come eat and get drinks. You know, you have to value like the little incremental victories, and a lot of those incremental victories are people coming out of their way to come try you.
Yeah.
And I feel like it changed my mind at the time, that I'm like, wow, like I really got to focus in on these people, these single people coming in curious, because again, back to consistency, this person enjoys this food or this experience so much. Your only hope is that they could bring in the next person. And whether that be their mom, their grandma, their cousin, their girlfriend, whatever, you have to deliver that same experience, if not better. Therefore, that person brings in the next person and the next person, and so on and so forth. Right. And things like that, I believe, are really important across all industries.
Yeah. I love that you brought up Danny Meyer. I just love learning about the way he thinks about hospitality and the way he teaches that and ingrains the culture with his team. So I'm curious, because you all have what, like 7 locations now? Is that right?
Yeah, Guisados, there's 7. And George's, there's 1. Yeah.
There's 1. Okay. So as you scaled, right, you started with the first in Boyle Heights, and now you have, you know, 7 locations later. Can you talk to us a little bit about like the team and the culture that you've all built amongst the entire organization and how you keep, you know, a customer centric mind?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, the last 18 months to 2 years has radically affected the way that I see it as compared to the way it actually works. I hate to admit that now we've had to kind of be a little bit more flexible in the way that we've not forced our culture on, but you know, tried to spread our culture through. But the way I like to see it is, I think the beauty of it was the first 6 to 8 years when we went from 1 restaurant to 2 to 3 to 4, et cetera, because I was there every day. As all of our restaurants are within, are in Los Angeles. So I'm able to drive to any restaurant at any time. Yeah, it may take me a little bit of time to get there with traffic, but it's doable. And when we started, I learned how important it is to be able to set up people that you trust and put them in a position to succeed and fail. I actually learned that, or at least I believe I learned that from Roy Choi. I bumped into him at an LA Times event, and I remember the first thing I asked him was, man, like, how do I step away? Because with 2 restaurants now, I can no longer be at 1 restaurant all the time. And then when 3 open, now I can only be at a certain restaurant for 30% of the time. And another one opens, you know, it goes down to 25%, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And Roy was like, you need to let your manager succeed and you need to let them fail, but you need to like consistently be talking to them, engaging with them and asking them, you know, what happened today? What can we do better? And things like that. So that always stuck with me. And as we continued to grow, I always challenged myself to talk to our managers and to try to engage myself with them. But also when I show up to restaurants, I work. Like, I love the feeling of being able to talk to people and getting on the register, hopping on the line. Like, I don't usually make tortillas, but I will. We're not just absent owners. We're here to be a part of what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's such an important lesson that translates across industries, right? Because you know, when you're young and just starting out, you want to prove that you can do the job and do it really well. And as you grow and you get more responsibilities, it's like, well, how do I teach others to do that, right? How do I step away and develop others so that they can run things better than me even? So I think, yeah, that's such a huge lesson in just leadership and in any business, really, how you think about managing.
Yeah. Right. And a lot of it is just showing face. Like, I show up to the restaurants day in, day out to show that, like, that I care. Mm-hmm. And, I think we've all seen our fair share of restaurants that the owner's never there. It runs. And whether it runs good or not is a different story. All I'm saying is that I personally believe that me showing face in here shows our employees that, like, I'm here, I'm checking the food, I'm talking to customers, I'm involved.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah. And I love that you definitely want to make it a priority to empower your team and your managers to let them do the job at the same time. So maybe shifting gears a little bit, I want to talk a little bit about maybe marketing and branding. So when I think of Guisados, I think of Guisados as a brand. So how do you stay authentic? How do you not get distracted from going away from what you do best, but really creating and crafting that Guisados brand?
I feel like my passion through all of this has always been the brand, has always been being able to create something. I consider myself an artist, you know, a visual artist and such. And so I've always been enamored with being able to create tangible or even just visual things for people to consume. And like I said, when we started, the food wasn't mine. Mine was everything you see. And that's the way my father and I always described it. He did everything to taste, I do everything to see. So I took it upon myself to create my own brand. I've always been enamored with, you know, the Nikes and the all of these different brands, you know, throughout history. And I've always wanted to start my own. When I was younger, I wanted to start a clothing brand. And, you know, and what I finally saw was Gisaldos was an opportunity for me to create a brand. When we started Gisaldos, I never really thought that this was what I was going to be doing for the rest of my life. When we started Gisaldos, I thought, well, I don't really have anything else going on. So let me use my talents to just like exercise them and try to create a brand and a logo and a, you know, all these different things that I always wanted to do, but under my own direction. So when the opportunity came to create Gisaldos, I was like, here we go. Like, let me figure this out. And a lot of the brand and marketing, as far as staying true to who we are, is I finally came to the acceptance that, and not to try to be boastful, but like, I am Gisaldos. And as long as I stay true to myself and like who I want to be, Gisaldos will always be authentic. Because when Gisaldos was made, I was just doing what I love. I wasn't doing what I thought would be popular. I was doing what I saw as that's a good design, that's a good logo, that's a good, you know, whatever. And as time continued on, I would think of, how do people consume this? Do we look fake? Do we look, are we trying too hard? If I work with this brand or collab with this person, does it make sense? And also, some of it is veered by my intent to not, I don't know how to say this, but like gentrify. You know, Boyle Heights is very aware of the gentrification of Los Angeles and the neighborhoods within LA. And I always felt like I need to stay true so that I don't get called out for this shit.
Right.
You almost feel like someone's watching you and judging you the whole time. And whether that's good or bad, it just makes you aware. It makes you feel like, okay, someone is watching and I don't want to quote unquote sell out, because if I do, what's the cost of that? And I a lot of marketing is about making relationships with people or making people feel like they need something while staying like true to the brand. And for me, Gisaldos is authentic. And I mean, one of the things you said when we started was Gisaldos has become kind of this staple of LA. And I feel like that's a byproduct of what I always wanted, not of what I actually created. When I would go to these places like Philippe, so I would go to these old school LA establishments.
Yeah.
I always tried to see Gisaldos in that light. Like, will Gisaldos be there in 10 years? And I feel like you have to always be thinking about your brand and like how you can make it feel true to who you are, especially when the brand is created by you, like you are the representation of it.
Yeah. And maybe we can just dive into that just a little bit, because like, I think Gisaldos has like, you know, close to 40,000 followers. I know George's Burgers is picking up. We have like almost 10,000 followers. So like, what are like, some people don't really think about the brand and the marketing aspect. Like that's, you know, it's not easy to perfect. So, you know, just to kind of give some of our listeners like a little bit more tactical steps that they can do.
I think a lot of it is saying no to a lot more than you say yes to. As you continue to grow, whether you have 10,000 followers or 40,000 followers or a million followers, you can't say yes to everybody. And a lot of it is recognizing where your limits are and like where you feel that you cannot set yourself to just being shallow, I guess, with your brand. You know, I've had opportunities to work with certain brands that just didn't make sense. Maybe the money was there, maybe the, like, you know, the end result was there, but it just didn't make sense because there's a bigger idea in mind. And to answer your question, I feel like a lot of that is about exploring your brand, but also exploring what are your goals. A lot of people have goals to be successful, but what does that look like? And how you see that rolling out dictates who you want to align yourself with, whether it's brands or actual consumer. You need to understand what is your consumer, how do you relate to them, and how do you become a part of them. A lot of people, and I say that because a lot of people from Boyle Heights, or at least from LA, consider Gisaldos or just their favorite restaurant as their own. This is my favorite restaurant. This is my favorite meal. This is my representation of Mexican culture or whatever type of restaurant it is. people identify restaurants with their own experiences and their own history. And like their own channels of life. I mean, we've all gone to restaurants that represent certain times of our life. And I think Gisalo's is that for a lot of people. So I just feel that when you really try to create something, you need to understand, what are you creating this for? Who are you creating it for? And what is your ultimate goal with this? Because success can't be the only goal. You know, there's got to be something bigger. Otherwise, you don't become that icon, or like you said, you know, a staple of a city. I feel like we're a staple of a city because we represent a certain type of person. We represent Boyle Heights. We represent Los Angeles on a grander scale. We represent Southern California on an even bigger scale.
Yeah, and I love that you talk about just the influence that you have on LA, that the city has had on you, and the way that you've built your brand. We hear, at least from the folks that listen, that, you know, folks want to start their own businesses or restaurants, but maybe just don't know how, or don't have the experience, or don't feel like they have the education. Why do you think that other members from the Latinx community should start a restaurant? And what are some of those tactical steps they can take today to help bring their ideas to life?
First off, keep it simple. You have to keep it simple. I think everybody has goals in mind, so you try to achieve them so fast that you may end up making things too complex. And you need to, like I said with my father when we first started, who cares about the way the restaurant looks? Let's get our food down. Let's make sure our food tastes the same. Let's make sure our service is good. Let's make sure that the essence of what brings people in is always there. I think it's important that you realize that when you do what you really love, and if you do it well, those people will find you. Those opportunities will present themselves. And again, you have to know when to say no, you have to know when to say yes, but a lot of it has to come from just putting in your time.
Yeah. That's the most important thing. I think you said it earlier too, where you have to kind of celebrate the small wins, even if it's that one person that comes in, that one person right. can go a long way. Mm-hmm. And it's like that earning that one person is like a big thing, because if you can earn that one person's, you know, loyalty, that right there can go a long ways. So yeah, it's been great hearing all the stories about Gisalo's and how you and your dad built that. But I know you still have a few other side projects, and you just opened George's Burgers. So what's your vision for that, and what's next for in the future?
Well, I also have another restaurant that we opened in March of this year. We opened a ceviche restaurant called Pleita in Silver Lake.
Yep.
Nice. That's after George's. Yes, that's right on Sunset, on Descanso and Sunset. But what's next? So George's kind of came about out of kind of timing and chance, but look, for at the time, 8 years of marketing and, you know, finding new ways to take photos of tacos, and Gisalo's tacos for 8 years. I was kind of like hungry for something a little different, but I knew that I still wanted to be in the restaurant industry. I think a lot of it had to do with, I just wanted to create another brand. I wanted to like design menus again and like come up with the logo and all that stuff. So there's a local diner in Boyle Heights called George's Drive-In. It was an old 1960s building. It's got one of those like iconic star, what are they called? Spires.
Oh yeah.
And they were known for the pastrami and burgers and such. So I heard that this restaurant was going to close, and my grandfather owns the property. And so that's how I heard through the grapevine that this property was going to, this business was going to close. Mm. So it was kind of in the budget, and I figured this is a cool opportunity for me to branch out and do something myself, not associated with my father as far as the food goes. My dad is part owner of George's too, but I'm talking food. This was my opportunity to like just cook and create what I want. Mm-hmm. And I bumped into a mutual friend, and we went to a Dodgers game together. His name is Robert. And we just got to talking about hot dogs and pastrami's and burgers. And at the time, I knew that George's was going to be closing, but I didn't know if I was really going to go for it yet. And Robert started talking to me about pastrami and all the things that he's been really enjoying about smoking his own meats and all this stuff. And I thought, hey, man, like, what are you doing right now? And he was working at a restaurant at the time. And he's like, I don't know, man, I've been at this restaurant for long enough. I'm just kind of looking for something new. So a little light bulb goes off in my head. And I thought, hey, what do you think about getting together and doing this restaurant in Boyle Heights? And Robert's like, I actually know that restaurant. My dad went to high school in Boyle Heights. And I went there as a kid, and my dad went there in high school and college, et cetera. So we both kind of had a bit of a relationship to this place. And we thought, well, let's give it a shot. So we opened George's. Well, we closed George's. I'm sorry, George's closed. And 4 days later, we reopened with a new menu and new everything. It was the craziest 4 days of my life. I don't know why we rushed it, but we rushed the hell out of it. We rebranded it, everything within 4 days. And it was a great opportunity for me to just create again. And I really love it exactly for that. So I felt like this is a cool opportunity for me to do something different, but to still keep it true to what it essentially is. So we opened George's, and that's been a lot of fun. That's the best way to describe it. George's is fun because of the food we make. Like, yeah. Who doesn't like chili cheese fries and double cheeseburgers and hot dogs and breakfast burritos? So it's definitely something more along the fun part that I wanted to do. But what George's has done is allowed me to continue to be a restaurateur, to not only have a one trick pony type mentality, that I get to chase after different ideas and brands and things that I love to do. And George's has opened up other opportunities in that manner. So that led into Laita, of the confidence of like, man, if I could do that, I could do this. Yeah. So again, my pops and I, we put our minds together and took over an old Siete Mares restaurant that was going to be closing here in Silver Lake. I'm actually standing outside of it right now. And we were like, let's do this again. Let's do something different than just guisados. And Blaita has been that, and it's been less than a year, but it's been very challenging, but it's been very fun in the sense that it took off like a rocket. Like it was extremely, extremely busy for the first 5-6 months. And right now, the only reason why, or at least I feel the only reason why it's slowing down is because it's very, you know, summer food. It's a beach type food. So it's been rainy the last couple of days. So we'll see where this takes us during the cold days. But what Blaita has been is just another way for us to kind of challenge ourselves to be restaurateurs, to be people that create. And it's been a lot of fun. But it's a challenge because it's a very small restaurant, and being able to produce high volume out of a small restaurant has been a great challenge. Yeah. George's and Blaita have definitely been the next step.
Ah, that's so awesome. Cool. We just pulled up the Instagram for Playita Ceviche. It looks so good.
And the quesadilla de camarón looks bomb.
It's very, very good. It's a very simple menu. It's very pared down from what Siete Mares offers. Siete Mares offers plates and a little bit more than that. We just wanted to focus on the aguachile ceviches and like fish tacos and just keep it really, really simple. In the end, I guess going back to your question, like what's next, our main focus is guisados. Like guisados is what pays my bills. Guisados is what takes care of Laita and George's when they have tough days. And, you know, guisados is the machine that allows all of these other opportunities to happen. So what I've also learned from my dad is like, you can't forget the thing that has given you this opportunity.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your story. And I think you're such an inspiration to many who are looking to break into the industry, but also just looking to lead and build their own companies. So thank you for sharing. We want to do a quick fast four rapid fire questions just to get to know you a little bit more. So
all right, let's do it.
Are you ready? They're not too difficult. So
all right.
Okay, let's jump in. So who is one person that you admire or that you're currently following right now?
My pops.
Cool.
Yep.
Love it.
Yep.
Yep. All right. And what book are you currently reading?
I'm actually reading the Phil Knight Shoe Dog Nike book right now.
Nike. Yes.
Nice. Which I think is why it's kind of been on my mind with a lot of these questions. So, but that's what I've been reading.
Such a good story. What is your favorite Spanish like dicho, like saying or quote?
Échale con ganas.
Yeah.
Nice. I like it.
I mean, that's, it's kind of been, not, I shouldn't say our mantra, but it's just something that, as I've, like my grandma used to say it to my dad. And so when we were starting the restaurant, he was very unsure of things. And she would just always be like, Mijo, you just gotta do it. Do it with all that's that good. You've got.
Yeah.
So that's we awesome. Say that all the time now.
That's awesome.
Cool. Okay. Last one. What would you want your younger self to know?
Be patient.
Cool.
I wanted things to happen so fast. I wanted to be a successful restaurant from day one. I wanted to be a brand by day two. I wanted to be an icon by day three, at least the restaurant. And it all has happened and it all is happening. But for the longest time, especially when you're young, you want it now. And I think that's very much today's culture. And I wish I told myself to be more patient, because I think it would have allowed me to become a little bit more present and not worried about what's going to happen tomorrow. Who's, you know, what's going to happen in the future, rather live right now because I'm living it, you know, like enjoy these moments. And you just got to be patient and resilient, like always focused on the task at hand.
Yep. I love it. Patient. It's one of the hardest things to do, but so yeah, it will definitely get us there. All right, cool. Well, awesome. Thanks so much for doing this. I mean, we definitely can't wait to see all the success of Guisados, George's Burgers and Playita. I know you're going to take it pretty far. And so where can our listeners find you?
My personal Instagram is delaart, DELA_ART. But the most important thing is at Guisados, at Playita Mariscos, and at George's Burger Stand. I mean, that's really where all of my like creative and efforts are put through. So Instagram, obviously where everybody lives now, but the restaurants are all on there.
Awesome.
That's awesome.
All right, cool. Well, thanks so much, Armando.
Thank you so much, Armando.
If you've enjoyed listening to this episode, make sure to subscribe to our channel and leave us a review. You can also follow us on Instagram at Latin Excellence Podcast. Thanks again for listening. And hey, if you know someone we should be highlighting, feel free to drop us a note or a comment and let us know how we can share their story.